In complete dependence upon the Lord, I will draw your attention to the chapter we read, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is a very well-known text, I rather imagine, and naturally speaking, a very attractive one. But you know, God's dear people, they want the word applied to be made known. And the little key, really, that an exercise to a living soul who knows anything of the mighty majesty of God, the holiness of God, who cannot look upon evil with any pleasure, or who cannot countenance that which pertains to lost man. He cannot look toward man with any pleasure or any condolence or any reconciliation. And the key is, his people know this. They know this. Hence the word, the very gracious instructions here, the blessings here given, start with a word of mercy, a word of comfort to those in need. And it speaks to those who are in fear. Fear. It would not do that if there was not a fear not, the very outcome, the beginning of the word, the first words, fear not. Fear thou not. Why do God's people fear? God's people, if we're taught, fear our own corruptions, our own sins. We fear the consequences. We fear the awfulness of the shame and guilt that it brings. Also, we fear the power of the tempter, the evil one, who not only turns aside, but tempts his people to unbelief. Again, I say, if the Lord has dealt with us and blessed us and favoured us, we know the awfulness of unbelief, unbelieving fears, unbelief. You know, God, it is an offence to God, but we are full of it. The old preachers used to say it was the cardinal or principal sin was unbelief. There is, of course, a non-believing spirit in the world. But what I mean by this is people, when they give way to doubts and fears. I think there's a couplet in a hymn, creatures of fear we drag along and fear where no fear is. The point is, were there no mercy, were there no grace, were there no blessing and salvation, we'd have every reason to fear. But where the Lord has made known his word, his comfort, you know, a wonderful principle, may it sound across our hearts, fear thou not. What you're walking through, what you're in, fear not the outcome. Fear thou not, but there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a principle as to why we shouldn't fear. And it's in the text. Fear thou not. You know, we just say to someone, well, don't fear, but they're going to say, well, if someone said to you, well, there's no need to be concerned. You say, well, hang on a minute. I've every reason to be concerned. Look at that growing affliction. The grief I'm in. Look at the loss I've suffered. The trial I'm in. Those practical things in the pathway of losing substance or employment or anything like that. Or some trouble. You see, we have every reason to fear. But when the Spirit here, or may the Holy Ghost, draw nigh to our hearts, what we're in, what we're walking through, the difficulties of the pathway, and give us a well-grounded hope as, fear thou not. Why? Why fear not, friend? For I am with thee. Tremendous word. Is the Lord with you? Oh, may the Spirit speak. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Dear friend, who is it who speaks? Who is it who speaks? He that is holy. He that is true. He that is just. He that is mighty. But the wonderful thing is, you know, he says, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Thy God. Let us consider who it is who speaks. He that was dead. Was dead. And is alive. Now forevermore. Was dead. He that groaned upon the tree. He that bowed his head. You think of the solemnity of dying, friends. We don't speak lightly about it. This Redeemer bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Says, fear thou not. You see, dear friend, the time is coming when we shall, after all of us, in what circumstances, none of us have any idea, when we shall have to either bow the head in that sense or breathe our last. Whichever way we could put it over. It's a very solemn thought, isn't it? But the Lord our righteousness is with thee. I am with thee. Friend, none of us have got any. I often say this up the road. We have, all our righteousness is, are as filthy rags. In our heart dwelleth no good thing. Divine teaching, light from heaven, personally, in my heart dwelleth no good thing. But the Lord our righteousness, the sinner's righteousness, I am with thee. I am with thee. You know, a righteous, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. But you see, there's none righteous, no, not one, but by grace, by imputation, by blessing, by living faith received in the heart. The Lord our righteousness, I am with thee. I am with thee. And we think of the end of the journey. What a precious truth. May the dear Lord sound in our hearts, those fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am with thee. You know, dear Moses came to that place where he had to say to the Lord God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know, dear friend, this one who is with thee is a prayer-hearing God, a prayer-answering God, a faithful God, yea, even faithful unto death, to redeem and love his people. It may sound a wild statement, but you know, if the Lord would not answer your prayers anymore, could you live? Was there no grace, no mercy? Could you live? I don't want to sound extreme or dramatic, but life, dear friend, is not worth continuing or living. If the Lord is not with you, how true of the saints, how you feel it. How could a Lord, if my presence goes not with me, carry us not up hence, how can I go on? You think, dear friend, a Lord that answers not prayer, that no prayer, no answers, no help. It's an awful thought, isn't it? He says, fear thou not in all the temptation, for I am with thee. I am with thee. Well, Moses came to that place, didn't he? Of course, there was a particular reason for this. As we know, it was the idolatry, which was an offence unto God of the children of Israel. But look at the grace of God in this case. You know, God was so angry, he said he would not go up in their midst. And we bring forth God's anger, some, I wouldn't say anger in the heat of it, but his displeasure, we put it that way sometimes, by our unbelief and our foolishness, our heart wandering, our carnal thoughts, our forgetfulness of his mercy, our murmuring sometimes. And yet Moses stood as a type of the Redeemer, speaking to the actual Redeemer who was yet to come to Zion, manifest in the flesh, and pleaded with him, pleaded with God. The Egyptians will hear it, and so forth. And who wilt thou send with me? But you know, God loved Moses. What an example, even under the greatest provocation. He will not forsake his people. He could not be God and forsake. How could he be God and forsake Moses? How could he forsake those he brought out of Egypt? How can he forsake you, friend? Having taught you thus far, having spoken to you, having helped you thus far, how can he forsake you? But Moses was brought to that point, you know. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. What a tremendous word that is. Found grace in thy sight. You know, in that chapter we have this word, I think it's verse 17. I will do this thing also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. It wasn't Moses who found it. God is the author of that grace. Tremendous thing to be under grace. If you're under grace, friends, it will go well with thee. Even you are walking through the fiery furnace, it will go well with thee. You'll be brought forth as gold. Thou hast found grace in my sight. Moses heard it. The Lord spoke to his heart. May speak to our hearts. But he said, did he not? Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. and I will give thee rest. You know, dear Moses, he had to say, didn't he? Thy presence go not with us. Carry us not up hence. See, the Lord was with him. He wasn't without his trials. If you look through the pages of Moses' life, how he was staggering from one crisis to another. How he was grieved at the willfulness of the children of Israel. How he went and laid himself before the Lord in the sanctuary and said, if I found grace, let me die, that I see not my wretchedness. I adorn these trials. You see, there was tribulation, but the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, and he had to stand up on his feet. And he still had to speak to the children of Israel. And the wonderful deliverances. Look at the mercy of God toward them. I am with thee. The Lord our righteousness. By grace. The mighty God. Who that ruleth the waves of the sea. What do you mean? Am I talking about the English Channel and boats on it? No, I am not. The seas of tribulation, the seas in the pathway, the many waters your soul experiences, he ruleth them, he ruleth them. I am with thee. It's a sacred word. He that is holy. Holiness permeating, not your own holiness. God's grace, his holy grace. Grace is holy, his love, a holy love, a pure love with thee, with thee. I am with thee, influencing thee, bringing thee forth. He that sits on the throne of grace and waits to answer prayers we've sung in the opening hymn, a wonderful truth, is with thee. And as I've said already, he that died and is now alive forevermore, who now sits on no precarious throne, reigns, friend. He reigns in love and mercy. I'm with thee. He's with you now. You may not feel it. He'll be with you to the end of the journey. Fear thou not. You know the Lord will have our hearts. Often ponder loneliness, you know. I don't want to sound lofty, but loneliness is a very solemn, sad experience. But you see, we can say, well, it was all appointed. But have we thought as to why it was appointed? We all at times may come into this situation. I don't know, the Lord is a sovereign. But there's a gracious purpose in it, you know. The purpose, I believe, with his dear people is that he may be with them. The exercise of soul daily may be with them. I had a godly grandmother. Well, I both were, but one especially on my father's side, the same name, surname I carry. You know how the Lord was especially gracious to her after my grandfather passed away. And although she had lived upon him, as a boy, you know, I used to go into that house and she'd be sitting there at the table. Not over the table, to the side, and there was the Bible always there, and she'd be reading it. Of course, she did her housework and that sort of thing, but she made time. She was drawn to read the Word. And you know, in later years, the Lord was gracious to her and fed her soul with his presence. She had purpose. A purpose. How often loneliness affects people as they come older, come to the end of the journey. How often we come to the end of the journey in loneliness, don't we? I am with thee. May the Lord be very gracious to us and give us that sweet knowledge is all of his grace. Friend, not one of us deserves this text to be real of us or true of us. But by grace he drops it in. By grace he leads us to it. By grace he brings us to need it. And by grace he speaks it. I am with thee. Fear thou not. You know how we often fear the Lord is against us in his dealings with us, don't we? He tries our faith. See, there is the trial of faith. If faith is real and true, it will be proved to be tough. Friend, God tried Abraham. He is called the father of the faithful, is he not? How he was tried. Look at dear Joseph, how he was tried. Look at Jacob, how he was tried. Yet God was with Jacob. It didn't stop him having his sad times. For you know, he was with them. And by living faith, may we receive in the heart that I am with thee. Well, the dear precious Lord Jesus, in whom is the... Well, I want to speak again on this further. You know, if the Lord is with us, we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost with us. We don't just have one person in the glorious Trinity. I know we worship the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, as they do in heaven. But you see, there is the fullness of God in him. And he brings us into the presence of God. And when his word blesses us, we have the presence of the Trinity in us. The very Spirit blessing the word to us, bringing in the fullness of Christ. And in Christ is the glory of God the Father. We have the Trinity. It's with thee. Poor sinner, poor tried one, poor lonely one, poor perplexed one, distressed one, afflicted one. Oh, may the dear Lord, may the Spirit bring it. See, we're brought to need the word. You're brought to need. Are you brought this afternoon to need the Lord to be with you? To be with you. In all that's upon you. In all the exercise of soul. In all the trials of the pathway. The afflictions of the body. The feelings of guilt and shame at times. God's dear people are a sensitive people. They're made very sensitive to sin and Satan and the power of the devil. How they long for the sweet comfort of the living waters of love and forgiveness and grace to flow. I am with thee. What a tremendous word. Passing in thee. In the pathway at this time, the Lord to be with thee, whom your soul loveth. You know, if the Lord speaks a word like this, the Spirit does. The Lord Jesus, the Trinity, this God of heaven, is no stranger to us, you know. He's wanted, isn't he? Friends, we don't desire something we don't understand, do we? That would be foolish. No man can do that in nature. We desire him whom we're drawn to, whom we love. But he says, fear thou not to the tender soul, for I am with thee. Oh, dear friend, if you have any sweet knowledge of the preciousness of Christ, how you'll long for him to be with you. Larger communion, let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. But oh, for this no power of I, my strength is at thy feet to lie. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. What is it that fills his people with dismay? Well, we could name a number of things, of course, but your heart is taught of the Spirit. Those things that dismay a believer, a pilgrim below. You see, dear Joshua, he had to speak to the children of Israel concerning the battles that were before them. They'd gone over Jordan Now they've got to possess the land, and the Canaanites were there, a strong people. But you know, it was the Lord that spoke. He didn't just speak to Joshua. When Joshua spoke to the people, the Lord spoke. I think I mentioned Elijah this morning, didn't I? Elijah and Elisha, for instance. We often think of Elijah's miracles and Elisha's. If you look, Elisha is recorded of exactly double to what Elijah performed. But it wasn't Elijah, Elisha, was it? It was the Lord. He's the same Lord, you know. Elijah's God is your God. If the Lord speaks peace to your soul, think of the miracles. Think of Moses. Think of Moses' rod striking the rock at Horeb. Of course, there are types there of the law and grace. You see, the law, I'm wandering off, I admit, but Moses' rod as the law of God struck Christ the rock and the living water came out. But leaving that part aside, you see, it was the Lord's power to bring forth the water. It wasn't Moses, it might be Moses' rod, and it wasn't the rod that did it. The Lord opened the rock, you know. The psalmist declares it. He opened the rock. You know, with dear Joshua, the Lord had to speak to him and to the people, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not dismayed, neither be thou dismayed. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." You know, why did Joshua need that word? "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." What a tremendous mercy. But how? Because there were battles. There was a fight of faith. Dear friend, we don't have those battles they had. But you know, they faced death in those battles. God's dear people, we all face death ourselves, but only He can overcome. "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." How Joshua needed it. You know, behold the walls of Jericho, compare that to Ai. What a difference. What a difference. You know, how God taught them with Ai, how there was that hidden evil in the camp. How He teaches us there's that hidden evil in our heart. And we wonder why He's not with us as in former days. How we have to lay it to heart, you know. And we're searched out, you know, to realise the Lord has seen something that He's not pleased with, perhaps in our life. I've known that experience. I'm sure many of you have. And there is the repentance given. But you know, how true that word stood, though. Didn't even the trial at Ai. Then the battle of of those kings when the sun stood still. How true. See, they had to go to battle to prove the truth. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed while you're passing through the afflictions that, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." What a tremendous mercy. The Lord was with him. He could not fail, and he did not fail. But it wasn't Joshua. It was the mighty power of the God of Jacob. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed at what thou art passing through, for I am thy God. I am thy God." What a mercy to have the dear Lord Jesus as your God, whom you worship, whom we carry in our bosom. The chapter, you know, I perhaps should have opened my remarks with just speaking or saying just simply The chapter that we read, 41, shows God's care for his people and the folly of idols, the helplessness of idols. And he shows his mighty power. Where are we this afternoon? Tried one, needy one, exercised one. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Think of the ordinances of the Lord's house. How his dear people need thy word. Continually, not just to go forward, but to come to the table month after month. What a mercy the Lord is with his people still, even though they may come to the table sometimes, not as they wish they would. Wish they could come more exercised, have more of his sweet presence. He's still with thee though, you know. He's still with thee. We're not trying to let matters off the hook here, but it's a true word. I will strengthen thee. I am thy God. I am. We take the bread and wine. And we don't make it as a God, do we? But we remember him who laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. My presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. Tremendous word Moses had, isn't it? He goes on to say, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. Think of the Lord Jesus, you know, it is he that speaks by the Spirit in all the full grace and love of the Father, because the Father is with you. And when he says, I will strengthen thee, remember how he needed strengthening. He knows what strength you need. We think of the dear Redeemer, prostrate in Gethsemane. Does it mean anything to us as we gather round his word? He who we hope to see in heaven above, laid low to redeem us, to bear our shame, to die in our place. An angel came from heaven to strengthen him. I've often wondered about that, you know. I'm sure many of you do love the Lord Jesus Christ in all sincerity and tenderness. What did the angel do? You know, fancy an angel coming to strengthen Christ in suffering. And when we think of him in the temptation, angels ministered to him in the temptation in the wilderness. And he who bids angels go, angels go at his command. But look at the reverse order. Why? 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Tremendous truth. And he needed strengthening to suffer, to be crucified. You see, the dear Redeemer, it's a mystery. He was still part, the second person, glorious in the Trinity. His Father was still his Father. But because of the charge of our sins upon him, his Father could not look upon him. The angel comes to strengthen him, bringing forth the union with the Father, making known to him. You can't believe the dear Redeemer in flesh, in suffering, bearing our shame, bearing a deep mystery. I can't explain it all. No man can. What a tremendous truth. So when he says, I will strengthen thee, dear friend, he knows what you need strengthening in. Strengthening in things that you couldn't tell others. Your intimate family circle, your personal pathway, the inner sanctuary of the heart. You need strengthening, don't you? And we need to be strengthened. When we're young, of course, naturally speaking, I'm talking about natural strength now, physical strength. When we're young, we're usually stronger. When we get older, you feel the frailty. There you need the Lord to strengthen you. But at all times, as dear people, whether young or old, the soul, they need to be strengthened to believe his word, to hold fast to his truth. Strengthened in the trial of faith, I will strengthen thee. Friend, that strength is not a natural strength by applying the mind or by meditation or going to some mind improvement system. It's out of weakness we're made strong. We read that faith, by living faith. Out of weakness we're made strong by faith. Faith in him, faith in his promise. You see, you're strengthened. The heart is strengthened by living faith in what God has made known. Laying hold of the truth, the Lord has visited, the Lord has spoken, the Lord has been near. This word, this promise is received in the heart by faith, by living faith. I will strengthen thee. Faith in the Lamb. Dear friend, the Lord knows what you need strengthening in. When you believe or to feel that truth, I will strengthen thee. You know, one of the greatest strengthenings you'll ever know is a living touch of his presence and blessing, and how your soul feeds. Feeds on his grace, feeds on his promise, feeds on the prospect of glory, feeds on the prospect of heaven, feeds on the prospect of being with him. I will strengthen thee. It's not just once, you know. There's a need of strengthening all the way through, and at the end as well. We come to the end of the journey. I will strengthen thee. He then says in confirmation, yea, I will help thee. I'll help thee to stand. Help thee to stand at last. I'll help thee to believe. You know, the Lord helps his people to believe. He helps his people to lean hard on him, on his word. I will help thee. You see, that help is often unseen, you know. We feel so weak and helpless. Yet the unseen blessing of the Spirit, the influence of grace, prompts us, helps us, leads us to him, leads us to his word. There's that word in Psalm 89, isn't there? Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty, exalted one chosen out of the people. There, of course, the psalmist is meditating on David and his kingdom, but of course, it's Christ, really. See, God has laid help for the church on the Lord Jesus. I will help thee. Yea, I will help thee. And he does. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't, but he is helping. He'll help thee to speak, help thee to stand, help thee to wait for him, help thee to trust him. We read this morning, didn't we, that gracious word, trust in him at all times. Easy said, isn't it? Easy to say text, isn't it? It's the faith given to trust him all times. Friends, all times. The down times, the sad times, the perplexing times. Trust in him at all times. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a glorious ending to a most precious word, a precious text. I will uphold thee. It brings forth a nearness, you see. To be upheld, it means there's one underneath. I will uphold thee. Uphold thee. with the right hand of my righteousness. There's the arm of my complete redemption. Friend, a full, complete redemption. Not just in time, not just the blessings of redemption given, but the fullness of that redemption into glory. Into glory. The right hand of my righteousness. It comes from where the sheep are found on his right hand, and he reaches forth and upholds to bring forth to heaven the right hand of my righteousness. Now, that right hand of his righteousness speaks also on this wise. That is the righteousness of the saints. And he upholds them with them in the river when they die. It's the Lord's righteousness that will keep us alive when we die and bring us to glory, to be winged to glory. The Lord's righteousness alone. Haven't got any, have we? We should die without any of our own. But it's the Lord's, the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand speaks of the covenant, of course, which he mentioned this morning, the covenant of grace. I'll uphold thee right through into glory. The right hand of my righteousness. But I will leave the word, the time has run. Or may the Spirit speak to someone here, tried perhaps, tempted, perplexed, in the furnace, the going's rough, don't know how to continue. Friend, without the Lord you won't. And the Lord brings his dear people to those places where without him they won't continue, and they can't. But he puts in his hand at the right time to strengthen once more. May the Lord speak it to some. May Jesus speak. Whisper. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, glorious truth. Oh, I am the Lord thy God. Oh, I am with thee. In the lower following verses we have these words, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I will help thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.